Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. This past winter here in New England, my yard had snow cover continuously from November through March, so I've been champing at the bit for a little spring warmth, and at last, it's here. For most of the U.S., April evenings are finally warm enough to linger outdoors comfortably for quite a while, and that's a good thing, because you'll want to stay out for at least 15 to 30 minutes to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. During most of this month, the sun sets between 7:30 and 8 p.m., and by 9, it's good and dark. So while your eyes are getting adjusted, let me tell you about a terrific event that takes place during the first week of April. It's called 100 Hours of Astronomy, and from April 2nd to 5th, this celebration will involve more than 1,500 public events in at least 130 countries. Organizers expect a million people to participate. There'll be webcasts from mountaintop observatories, star parties all over, and much more. For information and to find a venue near you, go to www.100hoursofastronomy.org. Okay, let's check out the major landmarks, make that sky marks, that you'll see overhead this month. April evenings begin with a first quarter moon, which swells to a full moon on the 9th. A few days afterward, you won't have to worry about moonlight flooding the sky after sunset for the rest of the month. Looking west, you'll notice right away that something's missing. Gone is brilliant Venus, which dominated the western sky all through the long, cold, snowy, never-ending northern winter. Now it's popping up in the east before sunrise, and I'll say more about that at the end. So with Venus in absentia, Saturn is the lone bright planet gracing April's evening skies. Look for it shining well up in the southeast after sunset. Now, if figuring out directions is a challenge for you, don't fret. Just make a mental note of where the sun sets on the horizon, and then turn to face the opposite direction, that's southeast. Now, Saturn has company in that part of the sky. There's a star to Saturn's upper right, or right, by about the width of 1.5 fists held at arm's length. That's Regulus in the constellation Leo. And you'll know which is which because Regulus is about half as bright as Saturn. April's an interesting time for Saturn. If you look at it through a telescope, or could, you'd notice that this famous planet's ring is oriented more or less edge-on to us. So rather than framing the planet with a generous oval, the rings appear instead as a thin line across the planet, kind of like a European-style zero with a line drawn through it. Let's spend a moment with Regulus, which again is the star to Saturn's right. Regulus sits at the bottom of a star pattern called the sickle because it looks a little like the hand tool with a curved blade used for harvesting. Regulus is at the bottom of that handle. Or maybe you'll see it more easily if you look for a question mark facing the wrong way. The sickle is about the size of your clenched fist held at arm's length. In any case, its stars trace out the head of Leo. Regulus marks its heart, and Leo's body extends off to the left. Now look to the right of this lion by about 4 fists, and you'll find a fairly bright star kind of on its own. That's Procyon, marking the constellation Canis Minor, the little dog. Look upward about 2 fists to spot Castor and Pollux, the head stars for the twins of Gemini. These two stars, together with Procyon and Regulus, enclose a big triangle of sky that appears fairly empty. Really, it's not. The triangle's center marks the location of Cancer, the crab. This constellation isn't very big, and it doesn't have any bright stars. But here's where you'll find a nifty star cluster called the Beehive. You can see it with just your eyes in a dark sky that's free of light pollution or strong moonlight. The cluster looks like a soft glow. Binoculars will reveal dozens of individual stars. Okay, right now you're facing south, more or less, so turn around to face north, more or less, and look high up. You'll immediately recognize our old friend the Big Dipper, positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving toward lower right. According to old farmer's lore, it's upside down as if dumping April showers. But wait, hold on a sec. How can it be dumping showers if the sky is clear? Anyway, the two stars at the left end of the Dipper's bowl are known as the pointer stars because an imaginary line drawn through them points almost directly at Polaris, the North Star. It's below the pointers by the width of 3 fists. Polaris marks the handle end of the notoriously dim Little Dipper, which on spring evenings extends to Polaris's right. If you follow the pointer stars up instead of down, you'll soon run into Regulus and Saturn. The Big Dipper isn't a true constellation, it's what astronomers call an asterism, an obvious group of stars. The Sickle is an asterism too. But the Big Dipper is part of a constellation, Ursa Major, which is Latin for the Big Bear. And the Little Dipper is in Ursa Minor, which means, you guessed it, the Little Bear. Now, if you think about it, bears come out of hibernation in spring. And so the Big Bear is now on the prowl high in the northeast. Equally high to its right is Leo the lion. Okay, lions don't hibernate, but we're talking mythology here. And slithering up equally high in the southeast is long, winding Hydra, the sea serpent, a completely mythological creature. Hydra was quite carnivorous in Homer's Odyssey, and you can think of it as a hibernator if you want. Hydra's stars are all pretty dim. Well below Saturn and Regulus is Alphard, which forms the serpent's fiery orange heart. Its head is farther right, over in the southwest, and its long tail has yet to clear the southeastern horizon. Spring is coming, and all these sky critters are on the march. Now this month there's an especially good date, sky-wise, to be up before the sun. Mark Wednesday, April 22nd on your calendar, and set the alarm to get you up very early that day, before the rosy twilight first makes its appearance. The 22nd marks the peak of the annual Lyrid meteor shower. Most years you'd expect to see a Lyrid meteor every few minutes, but outbursts sometimes bring about one flash per minute. Which Lyrid shower will show up this year? Beats me. You'll have to look for yourself to find out. As dawn approaches that morning, a thin crescent moon and brilliant Venus will be astoundingly close together low in the eastern sky. How close? The moon actually occults or covers up Venus for Americans west of the Mississippi River. West of the Rockies, this event occurs in twilight, whereas farther east, the sun is already up. For more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. And next month, I'll explain why the Big Dipper is the Swiss Army knife of the sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.